Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Universal Narratives podcast. Today, we're starting a new theme related to education all over the world. I am very delighted to actually start with one of the closest countries to my heart, which is Egypt. Very exciting. I will be speaking to Alia Ahmed today to discuss education reform and development in Egypt, as well as the work that she does in the country to enhance learning outcomes for everyone. Welcome to our podcast, Alia.
Hello, Salma. Thank you. Thanks a lot for this invitation. I'm so excited.
Okay, Alia, we'd like to start by asking you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you do, the kind of work that you do, what kind of educational experience you have, and we can take it from there.
Okay, well, I'm working on Education Square as a founder and director.
Okay.
And I've been working in education since 2010. As an instructor for children, youth, and adults. And I studied business administration in 2010. Then I focused on education, studying my master's degree from Ludwigsburg University in 2019, focusing in international education management.
Great.
And working on Education Square, we are mainly focusing on capacity building for educators in Egypt.
That's great. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about Education Square, which is your startup?
Yes, definitely. Education Square started in 2013 with my two co-founders, Nayira and Zina. We started at the beginning as an initiative. We are so excited to create a hub or a community for educators in Egypt to start sharing experiences and getting to know more about how can people develop their skills in this field for teachers working with children, either in the formal or non-formal education in Egypt.
Okay.
And then in 2017, Education Square was registered as a company and it was activated last year, like having another co-founder right now, Mahmoud. We are working as a startup, officially a startup for developing the teachers' skills and knowledge through introducing workshops online and offline.
Wow, that's amazing. So do you want to tell us what kind of workshops and what kind of professional development you mainly focus on for teachers in Egypt?
Yes, we are focusing on three main themes, which are education and education psychology and education management.
Okay.
Our courses are not only like, it's not like getting only a course and then... It's more a learning journey, yeah. So we are designing our courses tailored on the needs of educators so that everyone can enter and have the best from these courses.
Okay.
And we are currently developing our platform. It's a sort of a MOOC platform. So educators in Egypt and also in the Arab world can just sign in and choose whatever course suits them.
Okay.
And also focusing on these three main themes. And on the other side, we are working, like if you call it B2B or business to business. So we are working with education organizations, providing them consultancies in the field of education as well.
Wow, that's amazing, Alia. Why did you think about the idea of professional development for teachers and teacher training in Egypt? What is the need in Egypt for that? Do you want to elaborate more on why do you feel your work is needed in Egypt at this point?
Yes, it started since 2013, as I mentioned before, mm-hmm. when personally I started to, I had like a history, small history working in student activities in Egypt, okay. volunteering with children and teaching children. Then I was so inspired that after my graduation to start an initiative or an organization. So at that time, I used to search a lot for in this field to start having an internship in somewhere so I can develop my skills and then open my organization. So while searching, first of all, I couldn't find it easily. However, I knew from a network that there are dozens of organizations working with children in the field of non-formal education. But mm-hmm. reaching them was not easy. This okay. is number one. Number two is that there are a lot of organizations working with children, but like a small number of organizations focusing on those people who are working with children. So we do have programs for children starting from 4 years to 18 years old, but the capacity building programs are scarce for educators, for facilitators or teachers working with children in either in the formal education or the non-formal education.
Okay, yes. So I understand that there is probably a need for that because, and I don't think it's only Egypt because I spoke to two educators from Saudi Arabia when I first started this podcast, and they started something called Imkan Education, which is a consultancy, educational services. It's a big platform for educators, and they offer a lot of consultancy services in addition to teacher training and professional development for teachers. They actually started a platform right now that is only dedicated to offering professional development and teacher training for teachers in Saudi Arabia and also in Arabic-speaking countries, because they said that there is a huge need for that. And usually the courses are mainly that are offered through the big organizations are in English, and they wanted to do something that is more customized, something that is more, as you were saying, based on needs, the needs of teachers, so that it's a journey. It's not just a course that they finish, but it's something that they can take with them when they go back to their classrooms to enhance their teaching and develop the learning outcomes for older students. Alia, do you want to tell us how teachers are usually being prepared in Egypt? What kind of teacher preparation they go through? And why is there a gap in teachers' knowledge and professional development? Is it because they're not receiving enough training maybe on certain areas? That's why organizations like yours, for example, are doing this kind of work?
Actually, education, if we have just an overview of education in Egypt, and we can divide it to formal education, schools, mainly under 18, and non-formal education, which mainly works with NGOs or startups or even initiatives. So answering your question about formal education, educators are in a very big stress all the time because salaries are not that good. And having too many educators have the passion, a real passion, and they work on developing their skills. They look for courses and online and offline, and a lot of passionate educators are there in the ecosystem, the education ecosystem. But to be an educator or to be a teacher in a school in Egypt, yes, there are some courses provided by some governmental entities. And these courses are good, but some of them are general, so general to provide the educators what they really need. So some educators just enter these courses to have a certificate so as to be certified and able to work in schools. It's not only for gaining the skills or knowledge, but others who are excited to develop their skills, they look for courses, not only in these organizations, but maybe online or with NGOs or companies providing such courses. And the problem as well is not all courses are provided in the Arabic language. And some courses are practical and some not, you know, so is that, that mix of providing a course that suits that person who is working in the organization, understanding as well the differences in the communities, because a school in Cairo is unlike a school in Sharjah. The communities differs, and even in Cairo we have just a lot of differences. So is how do you apply knowledge and skills that are capable for teachers and also capable or related to the community they work in.
Yeah, makes great sense. Thank you for explaining that. I know about the teacher preparation system in Egypt, and I know that usually teachers, when they finish their 4 years of school of education, they usually need more skills because some of the skills are outdated, and some of the skills, as you said, are not really applicable to the needs of the students nowadays. So I'm very happy to see organizations like yours that are supplementing and providing these services to educators that need them. So Alia, what kind of clients do you have? Are your clients school teachers or non-formal education teachers? Can you describe a little bit the kind of educators that you work with in your organization?
Yes, we have different types of clients. So for teachers, we have clients from public schools and private schools, public, private and international schools in Egypt. And also we have clients from the non-formal education sector, from facilitators, facilitating educational materials and activities with children, and also with people who are coordinating educational programs and projects within NGOs.
Okay, so you have a wide range of audience, I would say. School teachers plus international school teachers plus educators working with non-for-profit organizations.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Great. Alia, what are some areas of passion what are your areas of passion when it comes to youth education in Egypt and teacher education in Egypt? What areas do you really like strive to focus on and develop for the teachers that you work with?
Actually, my passion for working with educators comes or stems from my passion to provide children a suitable learning environment. So providing a suitable learning environment, that means is preparing teachers for that suitable learning environment. So my passion is focusing all the time on how to provide educators skills and knowledge so they can provide the best for learners who are children they
okay.
teach.
Okay, then that's why you focus on topics like educational psychology, classroom management, just to make sure that the teachers are going back to their classrooms prepared to meet the specific needs of their students.
Yeah, understanding the needs, understanding the characters of students, and even facing the stress times that teachers are in, and also having like the education management is sometimes we have a very good curriculum and a very good knowledge, but managing these can like drop the quality. So we are working on the three themes for that reason, is to provide a suitable learning environment.
Okay, yes, I understand what you're saying. So it's more focused, this last piece that you mentioned is more focused to educational management, not classroom management, in terms of having the teachers, helping the teachers become prepared to manage the wide range of resources and curricula that they're working with to create lesson plans, activities, learning experiences for students to be able to thrive and develop and grow, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in addition, it's like a wide topic, and it has inside classroom management, time management, lesson planning, and so on. So education management is a broader meaning.
Yeah. So Ali, can you give me like, I think maybe our listeners would be interested to, maybe if you can give us a very specific example of a course that you're offering to your teachers. What happens in that course? What are the outcomes? And what kind of activities do you engage the teachers in so that they would be prepared to take this kind of knowledge to their classrooms? Just one example.
I can start with the last course we developed. It's that using or having an active online classroom.
Okay.
Because since the corona started, the COVID-19 pandemic started, like teachers found that there is a new whole system they are facing or they're living in. So we try to help them to use the current education materials they have and the current education curriculum, but to facilitate that online. So our course provides teachers like you, to how to use interactive online tools, how to design their lessons based on that time that because online mainly has less time than offline than sitting with children and so on. So it's a little bit condensed. So how to design the lessons based on this time they have, and also how to interact students through online tools and through online gamings, and also through discussions and so on. So teachers, like, they are exposed to different experiences and different tools and practices. And also there is an opportunity that teachers share the challenges they face together and discuss how they can overcome the day-to-day challenge they face through the online learning.
I love that everything is based on the needs and what's happening in the country at this point. And I see that a lot of countries all over the world, like our previous theme in the Universal Narratives podcast was the pandemic and how it has impacted education globally. And I interviewed the educators from three different countries. And I love how everybody is saying that based on the needs that we're facing in our communities right now, we're trying to find solutions and offer this kind of training and professional development for educators and also for parents, community members, students, so that they can utilize all these new tools and technologies in an effective manner in their classrooms. And I love to see that you're doing that in Egypt as well. So Alia, what motivates you to do this kind of work? Deep inside.
That's a hard question. That actually, I just found the passion inside. It's internally, I have no reason. I just found my passion here in education. But externally, is that there is a need in my community for this, for developing education, and also there is a lot of fantastic work done in this field. So the field of education is very rich, and that always inspires me to work and innovate in the services I provide in this community.
That's great. So passion, I would say, is the number one motivation, and number two is the need in your society, in your community for that. And I think, you know, being so passionate about something is always an amazing way to motivate a person to start working on making a difference and driving change in a place. And I love to see all these initiatives taking place all over the world. So how would you describe the impact of your work? How do teachers come back and tell you this was useful, this is what I did? And how do you monitor the progress of teachers after they finish? And how do you see if they were able to apply the principles that you taught them in your courses in their classrooms? Is there a system for monitoring that?
For some courses, yes, we do have that. And for others, no, we just we have the course and we practice within the course. But mainly there's a general rule we have is that the pre-assessment and post-assessment, the teachers before joining the course, they answer like a pre-assessment form, and that based on the type of course. And then after they finish, they also fill in this post-assessment to measure the progress, their progress in the course. Other thing is the evaluation form we create also, like, we are very concerned with having feedback from our clients or our target audience, is if they faced anything that they didn't find useful, or if there's a topic that needed much time or even if they have any suggestions for future topics. So that's why the evaluation is considered a main pillar in our developing our courses. And also we have like a part called reflection circles. It's mm-hmm. an essential part in our programs, is that people start to say their reflections out loud based on their experience within the course, and based also on applying what they have learned in their communities.
That's very nice. So based on this feedback that you get from the teachers in evaluations and during the reflection circles, do you usually use that feedback to modify maybe future courses or the content of what you're going to be offering in the future?
Yes, we always do this.
Okay, that's very good. Mm-hmm. So Alia, what do you think is working in terms of, or I would say, what are areas that you're very happy about Education Square? And what do you think is missing? And how can that be, maybe whatever is missing, how can we offer these services in the future? What are future maybe resources or courses or professional development workshops do you really want to include in your organization, and how can that be done? So what is working and what needs to be done?
Okay, actually, as I mentioned at the beginning, is that Education Square started as an initiative since 2013. And we've been working for like 7 years without, most probably without funding at all. We're just depending on partnerships and volunteering instructors and so on, and experts giving the courses. But starting from 2020, when we activated our startup, because we found that working with no income, that affects a lot our sustainability. So that's why we registered it as a company, to just have revenue and have deeper services and more services. So currently we are focusing on providing types of courses in the three themes. And what we are aiming to is to create more courses, and to create also like not like a long-term courses, not only a short course that an educator can have within like 3 days or something like that, but we are aiming to create like diplomas.
Oh, that's great.
Three months diploma, so we can deepen the learning experience for educators joining.
That's great. I wish you all the best with that, Alia. That sounds like a very good plan, and it's very much needed in Egypt as well. So this podcast is all about amplifying the voices of global educators. What can global educators learn from your experience, Alia?
Related to our experience in Egypt, is that Egypt has a very rich culture and differences, and even languages and accents. And I believe that other countries have so. As focusing on the local resources that an entrepreneur, if I call them an entrepreneur, have. So focusing on the local resources in the community, but also getting to understand and to be well exposed to the global trends. So that balance between authenticity and global trends can make a very unique experience.
I totally agree. And you know, Alia, you're not the only person who said that. I strongly encourage you to speak with Intent Education in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, because they're doing very similar work. And yeah, I can put you guys in touch, but they said the exact same thing to be able to, and they're always looking for, you know, partnerships. And I think they'll be interested in the kind of work that you're doing as well. They were saying that capitalizing and focusing on highlighting the, resources that we have in our local communities and the talents that we have in local communities is key for development. And I believe this because there is nobody that knows about the needs of a society than the people who actually live in that society. And that's why I think it's very, very crucial that we use the resources that we have in our communities, hire the people that we have in our communities, and listen to the needs, listen to them, hold these conversations, the critical friendship circles and all these reflection circles in order to learn about what they need and try to base our offerings in terms of training, workshops, resources, and services on the needs that our society needs. And this is the only way we can develop and move forward.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with all these big organizations, even though they're well-intentioned and they have a lot of great resources, sometimes they're lacking this understanding of what the local communities really need, the language, the culture, all these very small elements that make any culture very beautiful and very unique are only evident when you are speaking to people who come from that community. And that's why I try to speak to people from so many different educators from so many different countries to bring these ideas together and highlight what we can learn as global educators from these experiences. So again, I think what you said is that focusing on local talents and local resources is key for development.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, Alia, what would you like to add before we end this very, very interesting and insightful podcast episode?
It's mainly I'm very interested always with authenticity.
Yes.
And I just like to focus that having an authentic experience in your community that means a lot. And because sometimes we just found very interesting resources, but then when we try them, we found that they are not matching. Mm-hmm. So focusing on our internal powers we have and building up on what we already have, that builds the projects strongly.
I totally agree with that. Very good. Yeah, authenticity is key, as we said, because this is the only way you can develop a particular community and offer the services that individuals in that community really need. And I'm very happy to see that you're doing this in Alia in Egypt. I think it's such a great initiative, and I really, really enjoyed speaking to you today. How can people learn about your organization? Do you have a website for us to use? And how can we be in touch with you? And if anybody is interested in learning more about Education Square?
Yes, we have a website. It will be launched in July. So I'll share it with you. And also we have our Facebook page, Education Square. It's like you can just write Education Square and you find it in both languages, Arabic and English. And also, I can share with you my email if anyone wants to get in touch.
Yes, usually when I post a podcast episode, I post the information about the guest as well. So I'm going to, include that information in your bio. And you can also find Alia on LinkedIn, Alia Ahmed. And you can learn more about her experience, her background, and possible partnerships in the future as well. Thank you so much, Alia, for your time today.
And thank you, Salma, for this great initiative.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.